Hello, you're listening to the Making Tracks podcast, a podcast about songwriting, production and the music industry, brought to you by Access Music Production CIC in collaboration with the Glasshouse International Centre for Music.
Welcome to the Making Tracks podcast. I'm Lisa Murphy and today I'm having a chat with Maisie Coburn-Bannister, who performs and writes under the name of Myers Mollis. So Maisie is a songwriter with perhaps we would describe it as like a classical folk background. We're going to talk a little bit today about how she writes her music, what her influences are, and kind of where she's moving towards with the use of technology as well in her music making. So hi Maisie.
Hello.
Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Can you tell us a little bit about your background then and your music that you make?
Yeah, so at the moment I would say I'm writing sort of singer-songwriter, what people describe at the moment as like indie music, which is obviously a wide blanket. But my background in music is I come from both parents who are quite musical, and my first instrument was actually classical guitar.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. So after college, I studied folk music at uni, and now I've done a bit of a Bob Dylan, and now I play electric guitar and I sing.
To the joy of your fans.
I hope so.
Yeah. What made you move from then sort of more folk roots to what you describe now as more indie, is it more plugged in, would you say?
Yeah, I think so. I think what always really excited me about music was singer-songwriters. That kind of music was, I suppose, when I listened to it, I went, oh, I want to make things like that. The course that I studied, I suppose, was more like traditional folk. And I definitely like dived into that a little bit at uni. I graduated, sort of had a bit of a reckoning in lockdown. So I was a 2020 graduate. And I was like, why was I doing this in the first place? Like, what do I really enjoy about this? And the aspects that I did really enjoy were production at uni, and I suppose more like experimental styles of music and indie music. So that was sort of what like took me to that.
So we'll talk a little bit in a second about kind of what the music's like that you're making now.
Mm-hmm.
But let's just go back a little bit to kind of like last year, because last year was your first main release under your artist name, Myers Mollis. So can you tell us a bit about that and like how that came about?
So, yeah, I think I have to take you back to lockdown, unfortunately. I was writing a few songs. I think I was putting them up on SoundCloud, and it was actually my older sister rang me up. She lives in Australia, and we talk every now and then on FaceTime, and she was like, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing with your music? You're not doing anything, and you're just like waiting for something to happen. And I was like, yeah, I don't know, I'm not really sure. And I think at that point, I suppose I was feeling a little bit disheartened with the industry. I'd watched all my friends have things cancelled, and I just wasn't sure if I wanted to do it anymore, if I'm really honest.
Were you performing at that time? You were performing your original music?
I had been, yeah. I suppose I'd gigged on and off since moving to Newcastle. I'd done like a few like function gigs and stuff, and I'd played in smaller venues. And I suppose there was always something else in the way, whether it was uni or trying to work. And it just, yeah, for whatever reason, it just didn't happen until that year. I mean, it was my first gig back after lockdown. It was at the Clooney, and I was so nervous. Like, I was planning ways of getting out of that gig.
No, why?
Honestly.
Because it was...
I was so nervous. Mm-hmm. Like, I think I was speaking to a lot of people at that point who'd not been on stage for 2 years, and I had never had nerves like that. I was, like, I've been put on stage, like, I've got musical parents from the age of, like, 5. They were like, go on, like, dance monkey. And it was so bizarre to me, and I was like, maybe this just isn't for me. Like, maybe I'm not good at it. And I got off stage and I was like, oh, that was really rubbish. And I felt really bad about it. And the sound engineer came up to me and he was like, did you write that song? He was like, that's really good. Do you have anything recorded? And I was like, no, I've not. I'm trying. Like, I might try. And he was like, let me record some demos for you. Then I finally had some actual recorded music, and I saw a call out from Brighter Sound.
Mm-hmm.
And that was when I applied for a call out to work with a label, and I got it.
Brilliant.
And that was to release a track. So that was sort of the beginning.
So how were they? Was that your first experience of recording when you recorded with that sound engineer?
It wasn't. So I did actually record an album with my family when I was 16.
Oh, right, okay.
So I've been in studio environments. It's just never been, I suppose, that it was my project.
As a solo artist, yeah. So how was that? How did that recording happen? Was it a live recording or?
The one for the demos?
Yeah.
It was at the Clooney, actually, funnily enough. And it was just a very relaxed environment. We were in Clooney 2, set up some mics and, yeah.
Performed it kind of live and captured it live. Mm-hmm. Great. And then how important do you think it is being made to feel comfortable as part of that process?
Super important, I think.
I mean, that was a bit of a leading question, but, you know, you talked a little bit there about kind of not necessarily seeing the opportunity and having a bit of a crisis of confidence. Mm. So what do you think about the recording process as a whole and like somebody actually, you know, approaching you? That must have been really nice, you know, for somebody
to
just go.
It was so nice. I think we all have that moment. And I suppose that was like going back to what my sister was saying. She was like, you're sort of waiting for someone to give you the green flag. And as much as you can't do that when you're a freelance person and it's your project, I think I actually needed someone to do that and be like, hey, what you're doing, like, there's something there and you should do something with it. It was honestly like, I don't think I would have applied for any of the things that I did. That's if amazing. That one person hadn't come
so
up to
So on
me.
The back of that, you felt you had the confidence and obviously some examples of your work with that recording to apply for Both Sides Now Records with Brighter Sounds and then go through the process of recording and releasing a full song with more musicians involved as well. I'd imagine that's how that worked, isn't it? What were your big takeaways from that project? Because obviously there'll be challenges to it as well as like positive things as well in terms of like having a single at the end of it and having a release campaign is great. But tell us a bit about that.
I think like Shy Ben's getting out. it's such a cliche, but like, I think it probably, again, it like comes down to confidence. It's been like at my, like what I'm trying to do is worth other people getting involved in and other people want to be involved in it. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It does. I mean, talking about kind of confidence, let's kind of move on to how you make use of music technology as well in your music making, because it's something we've talked about quite a bit in the past. So can you sort of describe what your approach has been to using music technology and what do you tend to use it for?
It's been like a mix of things, to be honest. In uni, I really, really enjoyed more experimental stuff. There was a module that I took in my final year and it was like based around a lot of field recording. Mm-hmm. And less sort of, I guess, what you'd call like standardized structures of music. And I think learning music production in more of a creative environment felt more accessible to me. Mm-hmm. Instead of it being like, right, we're going to learn about like EQ, we're going to learn about... I think all of that's really important. But for me, it was almost a bit of a gateway entrance because the module approach was very much like, there's nothing wrong. You can't do it wrong here. Like, just you be creative.
Yeah, so coming at it without sort of the restrictions of this is how it needs to sound and these are the techniques you must use. It was more kind of like, make your own rules here, capture something creative. And so by field recording, do you mean you kind of went out with a small kind of like a Zoom handheld recorder or something like that?
It was
that?
A H5.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And then captured what? What did you tend to go for? Or was there not really a pattern?
So one of the tracks, I actually made my friends walk up and down a alleyway and catcall me. So it was like, that was an interesting session. And another one, I think it was like sounds in the city centre, all kind of like ambient things.
What did you use them for afterwards? Did you incorporate them with music or was it a soundscape project?
It was with music. So they were songs. So there was lyrics, there was guitar. And one of them had like samples of news programs. Mm-hmm. So a lot of it was like taking those sounds originally and then like manipulating them and it's sort of growing and like distorting and things. It was fun. It was like a really enjoyable process.
Cool. So that was almost like your introduction to kind of how you approached it. And then what's the journey been like from there?
I think from there it's been seeing it more as like a tool to get my music to other people. Mm-hmm. Like, it's still pretty wild to me that you can make something and then just send it to, like, in theory, thousands of people. So at the moment, my main thing is like making something that I suppose that I'm proud of and that I like and being like, hey, do you want to listen to this? And also in more like a writing process as well. When you have the ability to record yourself, you can be a backing vocalist, you can be a lead singer, you can be a guitarist, be a piano player quite badly in my case, but you can put down those elements. And I think because studio time is so valuable, if I can be more prepared before going to the studio, I think that's going to be a bit of a game changer.
Amazing. So you've kind of learned how to use it to create your own demos and things at home.
That's the plan.
Does it help you with your writing process, would you say? Has it changed your approach perhaps to writing? I don't know if it has, but you know, I'm guessing you would back in the day have sat down with your guitar and wrote that way. Do you approach it differently now or not?
I think I've not quite got to that point yet. I think that's what I foresee happening. There's a song at the moment that I'm really stuck with, and I suppose before I've got all this equipment, I should say I've recently got a home studio set up, is that I write with my guitar and then I've gone into the studio and put like drums and synth over that, which can be a bit of a funny way to get to the point where you're playing with drums. But my hope is, I suppose, to find like a groove or an atmosphere whilst I'm writing the song.
Yeah.
Instead of like a lot of the songs I've sped up and I've put them to a metronome.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas it's like, okay, if I could start with that tempo.
So almost it might be like maybe reversing the process by starting with a groove, a rhythm, a beat or a metronome and writing to that, which might change how the song turns out.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, I understand. So you recently completed the Making Tracks course with Sage Gateshead. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, it was a fab course. I had so much fun. I think the main thing was, it was a really relaxed environment and it was really nice learning alongside a group of people. I think the fact that the group was quite small, I suppose the thing I have to compare it to is learning at uni, which was much bigger modules. Not to say I didn't get anything out of those modules at uni, but you can feel a little bit in a sea of people and you're trying to put your hand up and go, can I ask a question about that? Whereas there was much more of an opportunity to do that and Making Tracks. And I think a bit of a running theme with me was just getting my confidence back up and going, I'm going to put myself in this environment and I'm going to come away and remember. It's like, actually, you've not done this for 2 years, but it's still in there somewhere.
How important is the learning environment, do you think?
I think it's really important. I think if you feel like you're meant to be in a room, you're going to start with the intention that is possible. I'm like a big believer in like affirmations. And I think as much as you can control what you can control, which is going in and being like, I'm ready, I've got my notepad. If you don't feel like that space was set up for you to succeed, I think that's going to like impede you to a degree.
Mm-hmm. No, that's really interesting. Just to sort of finish up, can we kind of get your advice to anybody who is kind of in that situation that you described back a couple of years ago, where they're a bit like, I want to get my music out there, or I want to learn more about how I can capture my music and show it to other people so that they can help me take it to the next stage. What would your advice be? Big question.
Yeah. I'm taking myself back to me a couple of years ago. I think sometimes you have to tell yourself, like, it's not that deep. Like, you're just trying to make some songs and you don't have to do it perfectly. No one's going to pop out and go, haha, you failed. And I think a really big thing is just like, ask other people. You will be surprised how many people, if you send someone a message on Instagram, slide into someone's DMs, be like, hey, you're good at that thing, can I ask you a question? Do a skill swap. I think one of the big problems is like, to start up, it does cost money. And if you don't have that, I think it's finding creative ways of being like, do you want to record a couple songs for me and I'll do this for you? And like, again, it's just like shy bands getting out. Like, if you don't ask, you don't get. So I don't know, just give yourself a chance.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's good advice. And then once you get kind of going and get your momentum, I think it's fair to say that now you've got your momentum, it's given you the confidence and perhaps the connections and the ideas for what's next. So, you know, looking at funding applications, working more in the studio with producers who can help you develop your sound, which is really great to see. So it's a really positive story, even though, you know, we went back to that 2020 lockdown thing. Thank you so much for talking to us today on the podcast. I know lots of people are going to be really interested in this. Thanks, Megan.
Thanks for having me. Bye.